best NHL analysis and insight. It's What's on the Lunch Menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Coast to Coast in Canada, Sportsnet Radio Network and the Sportsnet Television Network, as well as the United States on the NHL Network. We are worldwide on sportsnet.ca. It is Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard with Doug McLean and Nick Kiprios today on a 10-game night, looking ahead to the National Hockey League schedule, which features the likes of Montreal and Detroit on City Montreal. Sportsnet Canucks has the Dallas-Vancouver game and Tampa Bay and Calgary on Sportsnet Flames, alongside the World Series, which gets underway tonight on Sportsnet. Plenty to get to today, including a hiring by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Don, wherever you are, we know you're listening. You never miss a show. You have to be happy because, one, they have Brendan Shanahan, who's an alumni of the Ontario Hockey League, running the Toronto Maple Leafs. You have Kyle Dubas coming in from the Ontario Hockey League, a former general manager of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, and now Mark Hunter, director of player personnel. This is all in response to Don's rant at the end of the playoffs, and then a Hockey Central at noon, subsequently the opening night of Coach's Corner.
No shot of drafting a Swede in the first round.
Not with,
is that now guaranteed?
Unless he's playing in the OHL.
Or seven of them. Seven Europeans.
Don, congratulations.
Well, congratulations to Mark. I like to hire. I mean, Mark's been a lifer, played a long time in the leagues, done a great job.
Be surprised personnel. He would leave the London Knights.
A little bit surprised, but if you want to be an NHL general manager, why not take the chance? And I think, I think it's a good move. I think
Dale
it's
a did
good
it
move
a couple
for
years
both
ago.
Sides.
Dale took his shot a couple of years ago. Went back.
Yeah, he wasn't on the bench in London. Did a lot of scouting. So right now, the link now is just the ownership portion of ownership with his brother and Basil McRae, who has a minority ownership in London, now will be set to be announced as the next GM in London. So good on him as well.
And it'll be good to see Kyle Dubas, the analytics expert, and Mark Hunter work together to sort of work their way through, you know, evaluation. So I like it. I like it as a hire.
On the surface, it looks like they're coming at it from two totally different directions.
It would appear that way, but I think it's a good, I think I like the combination of the two. I think you sort through the analytics, you use it as a tool. Mark is more of a gut feel type of guy. I like the combination.
Reminder, Erik Karlsson, the Ottawa Senators captain and a Norris Trophy winner, is going to stop by Hockey Central at noon today, and Ed Willis from the Vancouver province to talk about the Canucks' strong start and their game tonight against Dallas.
Now, this job title is something new. It's not like he's replacing anybody or someone's set to get fired, although we assume that there'll be changes down the road. But this, I think, is another example of you can only spend so much money on your players, but there is no salary cap when it comes to management team and who you add. And this is teams now thinking that they got to spend a lot of money, and it's unlimited now in terms of what you can do around your roster.
But it doesn't matter how much you spend.
I know.
It's who you hire.
Well, it's who you hire. It's quality. It's right. Not quantity. See, but Mac, you know what? They're going to do it.
A director of player personnel, in my opinion, is a guy that oversees amateur scouting and oversees pro scouting. That's what typically that job means. And if he's overseeing the amateur department and he's overseeing the pro scouting department, it's a bit of an assist. Some teams call it AGM, assistant GM. Yeah. But I suspect that's what his role will be defined as.
The one danger in all of this is that if you do not eventually fire people or alleviate certain jobs, is that you do find a lot of chefs in the kitchen.
But they are replacing.
And as long as it sounds like Mark's got the final say on a lot of things.
Well,
but
he's basically taking Poulin and Lozell. Lozell was more the contract guy, so that's not really going to be Mark's area. But it's more of a Poulin replacement from what I see.
A tweet coming into @DarrenMillard, 1R and Darren. Dale, could he be that far behind as the new coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs? We've heard all about Mike Babcock.
I don't think Dale's going down that path again.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion, is that he tried it. His heart, first and foremost, was in Washington based on his history there as a player. And if it didn't work out there, it's highly unlikely he'll try it again. But they say never say never. I think it's a long shot at best.
And I think with Mark leaving, it's even more remote that he would leave London.
We have the
who's going to count the money in London?
Dale's really good at that. The experience I had with Dale as a player, he's very good at counting the money envelopes.
You should have seen him with his meal money.
Front half of a back-to-back for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Another one. That's the third in the first 3 weeks of the season. Toronto against the Islanders tonight on the island, and then tomorrow in Ottawa. Start of a doubleheader on Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey, which will finish with Washington and Edmonton, who will try to put consecutive wins together for the first time this year. They have a shot after beating the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-2, the only game last night. And boy, it didn't come. There wasn't that caveat where, okay, the Tampa Bay Lightning played the night before, so they should have been tired. Tampa had a night off between beating the Vancouver Canucks. They played a good team, so you can take that away. It wasn't like they beat a bottom feeder, a team that's right around their same caliber. That they were full marks for that victory last night.
Well, number one, you have a bit of a break going into the game when Hedman's injured. I mean, he has become a horse, obviously, for this team, the way he's evolved halfway through last year. Callahan goes down. Important guys, but full marks for the Oilers. Full marks for the Oilers. Full marks for their big line. Yeah. Well, full marks for the kids scoring on the penalty shot. Taylor Hall. Nugent Hopkins was real good.
Game breakers, right? Game breaking moments. Second period, late in the second period, Taylor Hall has the smarts to try to get in behind Matt Carl.
What a pass, though!
Yeah,
great pass. And then obviously the penalty shot against a very good goaltender in Bishop.
Like for that's a beat him
that was
for
a
fun.
Big league move.
But
and then late in the third again. Game breakers, your go-to guys. So there's Hull, there's Eberle on picking the puck up off of a bad pass, and then Nugent Hopkins finishing it off with the game-winning goal. There's your difference, Mac. Your
overcome
stars.
A bad goal.
But you know what I really loved about the game? They're so tight in Edmonton right now. Yeah. Players, management, the fans. Taylor Hall has that penalty shot. And what's he do? He asks for some noise from the fans.
That caught me off guard.
Doesn't necessarily embrace the moment as much as he owned the moment. He took it on his shoulder. And I don't think I've ever seen that before on a penalty shot where a guy's asked something like that from the fans.
Well, I remember coaching the All-Star game and Olin Nolan pointed at the net. Totally different. Yeah. But he did point at the net on Hasek. But listen.
That was the only thing missing from Hall.
Yeah, Taylor Hall
was calling the top corner.
But I got to tell you, as bad as they've struggled at times this year, and have they struggled worse than last year? No, they've probably played better. But they haven't won. Taylor Hall has been a consistent guy for them. He is determined to turn this around, in my opinion.
To start the season, the only bright spot.
And he's been, I mean, this kid has got no quit in his game right now, I'll tell you that. And he deserves a ton of credit. You see the frustration in L.A. He's getting knocked around a little bit. He won't stop working. See him frustrated, but he comes through.
Well, and you mentioned Nugent Hopkins. And, you know, when Eberle gave him that puck, there was that sense of just poise with it, right? He didn't shoot it. He just waited a little bit. He brought it in a little bit and then went low glove side on Bishop. And there's the other guy of this equation, is that this guy has got to turn himself into a Tavares. He's got to turn himself into a big time number one centerman. And
totally.
He came off that great rookie year, but he has not come back and picked up off of that year. It's been a trying year and a half, Mac.
Injuries have dogged him, eh?
Yeah. Everything.
The next big question is, where is Draisaitl as this goes along here? You know, I mean, he's He's, you know, these kids start to struggle a little bit. He's such a good-looking player. He's going to be a heck of a player. This is a tough decision for Edmonton. They need him because they don't have the depth down the middle.
But you got to go find some depth.
Yeah.
He's a kid. Trade for it, I guess, is the only option.
And, you know, I mean, it happened to me with Brulé. You know, I kept him for the 10 games. All of a sudden, he breaks his leg, and I got him for the whole year. Couldn't send him back. So you got to be careful. If he gets an injury, he's there.
Back-to-back games where the goaltending's been really good for Edmonton.
I didn't like one last night, you know, but he battled back.
But the off the Schultz escape? Yeah. Well, that's a
tough one.
Plan for that one?
Yeah, it looks bad, but it's not as bad. But he battled back. And Scrivens, I mean, they're both going to battle. So they've got to be as good as the opposition goaltenders on a nightly basis. And they haven't been thus far. Last night, a step in the right direction.
Wow. Especially when you watch what's going on in Calgary, right, with their goaltending. Mm-hmm. And those guys have been great. So that's the game right now.
Okay, what does this do to Edmonton? That's two games into a seven-game homestand. They're 1-1. But I'm curious whether they take advantage of this now. And we see a different Oilers team, or is it just one and done?
They're going up against, Washington?
Yeah.
That's not an easy assignment. Washington's playing pretty well. I mean, if they can win against Washington, they need a little momentum here. One game isn't going to get it done, but I'll tell you what. They're feeling pretty good today. They can't get too high. They got to step back and say, why are we here? Again, why did we win a game? But
manage expectations, especially when you look at that blue line that still is a work in progress. So, Nikitin, how much better can he continually get here? So, those are the questions, right?
Well, you saw Toronto win a couple of games in a row, and then it reverted right back to the same old. One, lack of work ethic, disorganization, and a lack of offense. Now they're taking on the New York Islanders tonight.
Big guys have got to score. Big guys have got to score, and Bernier's got to stand on his head.
The next 36 hours for the Toronto Maple Leafs is battling two teams that they are competing for. It's early, yes, but, I mean, you got to win these games against teams that you're battling a playoff spot against, and you're going on the road.
And the Islanders go into Pittsburgh and battle pretty hard on the weekend. I mean, they're a team right now to be reckoned with. So team they've got to beat out. Look, the Leafs are going to fight for 7 or 8. It's Columbus. It's the Islanders. It's Toronto. It's the whole Washington, Jersey. You can't lose to those teams.
There's a sense of legitimacy around the New York Islanders.
How can there not be when Tavares has now gone into the he's gone into the atmosphere of legitimate MVPs in the league? This guy could win the Hart.
He's my pick this year for the Hart Trophy.
He could win the Hart. So they asked Kadri the other day in terms of, you know, the rivalry, and they've had one. And Kadri said, to be honest with you, it's not too much different talent-wise. And you know what? You might have an argument there. Kadri's a very talented player, but it is night and day between these two players everywhere else.
Kadri said there's not much difference?
That's what he said. He said, talent-wise?
Talent-wise, but Tavares owns the work ethic, and he's got to catch up there.
But why is now Tavares up there with the Crosbys and the Taves and the Stamkoses, and Kadri is where?
I didn't see them. I guess I've never seen them as comparables. They've never been close for me, but that's looking at Tavares' last couple of years as a junior, and that's not a knock on Kadri. Kadri's a good player,
They played in the same line in London, and they lit it up.
Yeah, but not close, and that's the different feel that you have when you look at the Leafs, and now you look at the Islanders.
And if Kadri was in a market where the spotlight hasn't been on him since the first day he stepped on the ice in training camp, it might have been a little easier for him, but...
Pavel Datsyuk, congratulations, Poolies, who have Pavel Datsyuk.
Off the hook completely just based on pressure and market.
To me, they're not even in the same breath. In the same breath. But anyway, that's fine.
They're still both top 10.
That doesn't mean Kadri's not a good player.
No, it doesn't mean it. No.
Pavel Datsyuk will make his season debut tonight for the Detroit Red Wings, who are in Montreal. So coming off a couple of strong performances by Henrik Zetterberg, he's about to get some help as Detroit.
That's scary. If Zetterberg's now, his healthy. Game's healthy and back to where we've been accustomed to seeing And Pavel feels pretty good.
What about Nyquist?
I thought this team was on the cusp of maybe missing the playoffs, but then you watch him against the Leafs.
And then you watch Nyquist.
And then you watch Nyquist. And even the back end.
I know.
Like, it's a lot of these guys are misslotted based on the fact that, you know, they're still looking for a legitimate number one, and that's not a knock against Cronwell. But they're big, they're strong, they're physical. JVR, I think, is one of the better guys now in the league at getting to the net. And that blue line with Detroit, man, they did a very good job against JVR and the rest of them. And they didn't get too many good looks.
Detroit kind of muddled through the first three games, won one-on-one, and then they go into a game against Montreal tonight and a two-game winning streak. Here is the man that writes about the Vancouver Canucks for the Vancouver Province, columnist Ed Willis. So 3-1, does that get everybody excited, or is it tempering expectations in the lower mainland?
It depends how you look at it. Yeah, they're 3-1, but they're 0-1 against real teams and 3-0 against Calgary and Edmonton. I think it's bought them some time, and I think it's kind of eased a lot of the anxiety about this team that existed at the end of last season, but there's a much longer story to be written here.
Ed Willis covering the Vancouver Canucks. They get set to take on the Dallas Stars tonight. Willie Desjardins facing his former team. Ryan Miller goes back in, I would assume, tonight for the Vancouver Canucks. What do you see as the biggest improvement year to year for the organization? And you can go front office, you can go coach, you can go on goal, go anywhere.
Well, it's probably the most overused term in hockey right now, but I really do think they've changed the culture of the team. It was toxic last year between the general manager, Mike Gillis, and the head coach, John Tortorella. It was just a bad fit all the way around. So, you know, they brought in Trevor Linden as the president, and that kind of established some confidence in the market. I thought he made two really solid hires in Jim Benning and Willie Desjardins. And so people feel better about the team. The team seems to feel better about itself. Henrik and Daniel Sedin look like they're back on track. I don't think they're 100-point guys anymore, but if they're both 75-point guys and Radim Verbata scores 30 to 35, that'll alleviate a lot of their problems. Now, the next question is the rest of the lineup good enough? And that's what's going to be determined here over the next 6 months.
And Ed, a different energy when it comes to who's starting on most nights between the pipes.
Yeah, that's it. And it was funny because of all the moves they made, bringing Miller in might have been the most contentious. But Benning, Linden, Desjardins were all on the same page on that. Look, when you're trying to build something new, you just can't have a question mark in goal. You've got to have, you know, a reasonable expectation. You're going to get NHL caliber goaltending most nights, and you know that's why they brought Miller in. And you know, about three games in, he's held up his end of the bargain. Again, it's all going to be determined, you know, over the long haul with this team. But you know, you've got that veteran presence. Even in the Edmonton game, they won at home. He gave up four, but you know, he made big saves once they tied the game, and he was great in the shootout. So it doesn't look like goaltending is going to be a huge issue for this team. Is it going to be good enough to get him in the playoffs? That's the next question.
If Verbata keeps going the way he's going, and he looks good, he reads off them. He's got a great hockey IQ, and he reads off the Sedins on that when he comes in on that forehand, you know, right shot. He's getting a ton of chances. But after that line, and they'll be challenged because the teams are going to go after them to shut them down. Where does Bonino, Higgins, and Burrows fit as a second line when you're trying to make the playoffs in that conference?
Well, that's the big question around Vancouver, and it's sort of, you know, it's in relation to the NHL, but specifically it's in relation to the Western Conference, where, boy, you just look up and down the lineups. Dallas's second line center is Jason Spezza. So we know about the Kings' depth. We know about Anaheim. San Jose was supposed to be, you know, the team that may be falling. But, geez, you look at their lineup, and then, you know, they're still a really good team. So is Bonino a legitimate second-line center in the Western Conference? I'm not sure.
I think he is, Ed, if he has the right people with him. I'm just not sure that Burrows, yeah, no, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, fair enough. But how do you change that? And I think the other interesting thing with this team is not what it looks like now, but what it's going to look like in February and March. Because they finally have some guys in the pipeline, and there's probably 2-3 guys playing in Utica now that you can see making an impact on this team at the end of the season. And that's a Hunterson character, first rounder 2 years ago. And Nick Jensen isn't a guy who gets a lot of run, but he's 6'3", he weighs 210, he's got all the tools to be an impact player in the NHL. He hasn't really shown it yet, but the package is enticing.
Well, when you look at Vancouver, and I get the fact that you wanted to get Kessler out of the room, and I get the fact that there was bad energy having him there, essentially, but how do you replace, and I know you mentioned a couple of names like Shinkarik, but how do you replace that pushback in the Western Conference? They need to find another guy like that can play top 6 minutes. That's the guy that you're essentially talking about in terms of what it'll look like in February or March. If you're even in a position, Ed, to knock on the door in a playoff spot, who's going to replace Kessler's pushback?
And the only other guy that, Ed, correct me if I'm wrong, the only other guy that looks like he may push into that top six is Vey, and he's not ready, is he?
No, it doesn't look like it right now. You know, Nick, in answer to your question, no one's going to replace Kessler. And, you know, I think they knew that. They were just dealt a really bad hand there, and I think they made the most out of it. I have a hard time holding their feet to the fire for that trade.
I agree.
Kessler wanted out again. He was contributing to just a miserable atmosphere in the locker room.
Yeah.
So, you know, they held their nose and they made the deal. They had to. Lyndon Bay is a really interesting character on this team because he was basically brought in to center the third line and play on the first unit power play, and, you know, the early returns are a little uneven. Willie Desjardins had him in Medicine Hat and swears by the kid. He was stacked up behind, you know, a lot of really good players in Los Angeles. So, I mean, if he scores 20 and gets 50 points, that would go a long way towards alleviating their problem. We're just not sure if he's that guy. And if he's not that guy, I don't know where you get that guy during the season.
Yeah. They're hard to find.
That's what their problem is.
So. Ed Willis is with us here from the Vancouver Province on Hockey Central Anew with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. We have Erik Karlsson coming up in the next block. This is what I call an Ed Willis question. So with Gillis gone, Tortorella out of there, Kessler's gone to Anaheim. There's no goalie controversy. Who's the grumpiest person in the organization now?
Ed.
Ed's always in the mix, but
Tony Gallagher would be.
Only Ed can really get a grasp on this.
Ed or Tony?
That's an awesome question. No, they've weeded like the grand, which is too bad because like that grumpiness factor really made it such like a, you know, a rich vein to write from. I really can't think of anybody who's and this isn't really his demeanor, but Alex Edler is the guy who had the worst plus minus in the NHL last season. I think he's tired of hearing about that. So we'll go with Alex Edler.
Is Edler better just based on the fact that Tortorella's not there to
and it's the same,
beat
and
him up verbally?
Very similar to the Sedins. He just looks like a different guy. And I thought he scored a goal against Tampa Bay. But other than that, he was really good. And he's the closest thing they have to a number one defenseman. Yeah. He's like all over the map from night to night. But if they get like 45, 50 games where he plays at the top level guy, that's another thing that really has to go right for them. But again, he's got size, skill. He's got the full package.
Ed, Bieksa, Edler looks like he's going to come around. Tanev looks like he's emerging. Spezza, I mean, where does he fit?
Another wild card. And, you know, I think a lot of the comments we made about Lyndon Bay and among the forwards, I think, apply to Spezza. Potentially, he's a guy who could push into the top four.
They've said that about him for 7 years.
Exactly. And I think there's a reason why he's been traded as often as he has. And again, you look at the package, it's all there. Is the hockey sense there? Can you do it on a night in, night out basis? Right now, he's the fifth defenseman. So it's not like they're counting on him. But I mean, if he was
not a tough guy, but can he play hard legitimately game in, game out?
No.
Well, that was his reputation coming from Anaheim, wasn't it? He was a Western Conference type defenseman. And the sample size is so small right now that's hard to say. We're just four games in, but he really hasn't lit the world on fire yet.
Eric Carlson's coming up. We're chatting with Ed Willis. Before we let you go, the ref cam, really enjoyed that through the first couple of weeks of the National Hockey League season. And the more I watch it, the more I think, would that ever look good following you around a golf course?
You think? It would sell. I can tell you.
Is he that bad? No, he's a pretty good player, but the tantrums are epic.
What?
Oh,
I never thought writers had bad tempers.
You ever?
I'm sorry. How did this conversation turn around to my temper on the golf course? What was the leap there? What was the segue there?
It was just the ref cam way to plug the ref cam.
Does he use language like Paul Maurice did on the golf course, like Paul did in his press conference the other day?
There's some of that. Hey,
we're not even.
Excuse me.
You always have fun with us.
We're not 3 weeks into the season.
Thanks, Ed. And we'll lean on you again soon.
Okay, guys. All the best.
See you. There's Ed Willis, author and columnist for the Vancouver Province.
You'd have to say they're the team, Colorado. You love Colorado's kids and you love the makeup there. You've got to believe they're going to find a way to get it going. But if not, Vancouver is going to be knocking at the door there. I didn't have them in. I didn't have them in the playoffs. They're a bit of a surprise.
Like Ed said, got to beat teams other than the two Alberta clubs.
Totally.
So with Edmonton winning now, is we all focusing on Winnipeg now? Is the bottom
Winnipeg's feeder? In a tough one tonight against Carolina. Tough in the
are
sense
you sleeping?
Of
sleeping?
No, tough in the sense of you okay? You better win.
No, but are you sleeping?
Yeah, are you personally sleeping?
Actually,
as a
we
super
know
fan?
Brandon's doing fine. We know that they're rated pretty high.
You know what? I didn't sleep very well last night. Winnipeg. They got the goal the other night. Things look good. They're at home.
Calgary.
Calgary should have been. Right there for the taking.
But Darren, look at some of the goals they gave up. The coverage, the way they
played
defensively, the rebounds. It was ugly.
Look, I'm having trouble dealing with it as it is.
I know.
I don't need to be hit over the head here like a whack-a-mole at the carnival.
Pace yourself.
The three stars from last night. There was only one game.
My number one star is Bill Jurdak, the manager of my condo tower, for getting my car going and getting me here. He's my number one star.
Well, we're going to
get you free rent or something.
He's just the manager of the building.
We'll get a star from the actual game last night. And boy, was there a rush, a panic to get these in because there was only one. And everybody's trying to trump the other guy.
I was quick on that. What did you go with?
I went Taylor Hall.
Good. You're not supposed to give it away.
It away.
You asked me.
I know, but you say it off the air, dummy. Or no, I shouldn't use that term.
Oh, by the way.
Sorry.
Do you want to explain to the people your little rant on Twitter last night?
I did not have a rant. Okay. So I don't look at my Twitter for a while, but apparently I get a call from Jen, our PR person here at Sportsnet, saying, what's with the shut up? I said, I didn't tweet shut up.
They're investigating.
And I'm like, are you sure? She goes, no. She goes, well, we've had people, you know, get a hold of our accounts in the past. Maybe that's what happened. And I'm like, yeah, but usually it's like it leads to porn or something, not shut up. Yeah. And then.
Yeah, it was very unoriginal for a hacker to do.
Very unoriginal. So then I just did a little investigating around the house. And I'm like, did anybody touch my phone lately? And then it came back to my son, who was going at it with his brother.
And it happens once in a while.
And he wanted to direct tweet him with my phone to tell him to shut up.
So to make it look like you were telling your son to shut up.
Correct. But you wouldn't tell your son to shut up. You'd say, Theo, just calm down.
So, you know, the first thing I said is, did you mention TSN at all? And he said, no. I said, okay, that's a good start then.
Yep.
That's not a bad start.
Yeah.
So you know what? Good on him, because he wanted to follow it up. He said, "Dad, I don't want anybody to think that you told, you know, your 200 plus.
So you made him do an apology
to shut up.
So you typed his apology and made him sign it.
No, he typed it and he sent it himself.
Good for him.
Good
teaching
for
moment, right?
Stand up move by him. I'm proud of
him.
Did
you have
that.
Any teaching moments this weekend? Usually you have a few.
Oh yeah, I'll keep those private. Read the blog. Eric Carlson, Ottawa Senators captain and perennial Norris Trophy Canada, will join us next as the Senators get set for a Wednesday night, Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey encounter with the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll chat with them on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590, the Fan simulcast on Sportsnet, and in the United States on the NHL Network.
Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590, the Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, the Fan.
Get right to it. Keeping a line open for Eric Carlson, captain of the Ottawa Senators, phoning in ahead of the Senators and the Maple Leafs on Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey. You can see that one, Sportsnet 1 tomorrow night. Sportsnet 1, the doubleheader. The back half also on 360 with the Edmonton Oilers against the Washington Capitals. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McClain here at Hockey Central at noon. Time for the three stars from last night. I will go first. It was a 3-2 Edmonton Oilers victory. We got some great goaltending, got some great plays, emotional response from the crowd to Taylor Hall. But I'm going to go a little bit off the map. Ben Bishop was the losing goaltender last night, but he came up with what you call an inventive play. As a puck went off the screen at the back of the end behind him, he turns around and for some reason keeps his eye on it and makes a behind-the-back catch. Like that's some pretty good focus right there, isn't it? For a guy who's had some shoulder problems, that might be the biggest indication, best indication that the shoulder's just fine.
That's the best that you can get out of the game.
Well, listen, I wanted you guys Bishop, to have
Greg Zahn as a goalie could make that catch. That's all he can do as a goalie.
Probably say,
but he might be able to make that catch.
You ever seen a guy
60 goalies in the league could make that catch?
Really?
Yeah. That's how good they are.
He maintained his focus on the puck. Go ahead with
your. Oh, no, you go because I want mine to be a surprise.
You're second. Yours, that was obviously third star.
I already said it.
Taylor Hall,
and we talked about this earlier in the show, has been the one bright spot right out of training camp. And I thought that was a game-changing moment for the Oilers and their fans. And you mentioned it, just the energy that he was able to kind of get going here, and you know, against your first star, he makes a world-class move on a very, very good goalie, and that's what great players do. They rise at the occasion, and there was
to the occasion,
no bigger occasion than that one for Taylor Hall. Are you okay there?
I made a comment last week on that. You know, I was picking up where you left off. Yeah, on the same words in the wrong place.
A couple of Kipperisms.
Yeah, tough to argue with Taylor Hall. He was that good. I'm going to go with Ryan Nugent Hopkins, and I think he's that important a guy. They've got to have him take a step. I love this guy as a player. I said a couple years ago, I think he's an 80-point-plus guy in the league. He's got to get to that sooner than later for the Oilers to have success. It's that critical a position, and he can make Eberle and Hall even better than they are because he can find them. He's that good. So I loved the play last night. I loved, you know, the fact that he got the winner. He found himself in the high slot and a big goal. And they desperately needed a win.
They're also desperate to make a change, I think. They need something.
Before we make the change there, let's bring in Eric Carlson.
We'll pick up the Edmonton.
Here's the defenseman, the captain for the Ottawa Senators joining us. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Tell me, and as honest as you can, is Paul McClain back to being this nice, cuddly head coach again, or is that overblown?
I think he's always been that coach. No, I mean, I think what we have right now, I think everybody feels good about themselves. And, you know, I think everybody knew what needed to be done in coming into the season, and we addressed that right from the start. And obviously he's been a big factor in, you know, how we started the season.
So what is the biggest difference between last year and so far the start of this season?
I don't know. I think it's just paying attention to detail a little bit more. And you know, everybody clearly knows a little bit more what's expected of us and what we need to do out there to be successful. And you know, just play a little bit more simple hockey and not be two steps ahead.
Eric, all head coaches get goofy at times. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. They all get goofy.
They get goofy and after they retire, too.
Yeah, and we get goofier after we retire. So are you comfortable walking into Paul's office and saying, Paul, you're getting goofy. We need you to take a step back and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
You don't have to use the word goofy.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, ever since he got here, we've had a great relationship. And he's a great guy. I mean, he's played the game. And you know, off the ice, he's a normal human being. And you know, he's very respectful and understanding and reasonable. So I think, you know, the communication level we have right now is as good as it can be. And even though we don't agree at all times, I think it's still, you know, we both understand and we come to an agreement together.
Just a little tip. I worked with Brian Murray for a long time. Don't go in his office and say he's getting a little goofy. Say, maybe, Brian, you're acting a little strained, but don't. Just a tip.
And Brian is the same. I think he's a very down-to-earth guy, too. And you know, he knows what's expected of you. And you know, if you deliver, you get rewarded. And at the same time, it goes the other way, too. So I think it's a fair, straight game. And you know, when you talk to those guys, it feels like you're just talking to a normal person. And you know, you just got to be reasonable about whatever it might be.
Talkie Central Noon, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, simulcast on the Sportsnet Television Network. Darren Millard, along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McClain, chatting with Ottawa Senator Captain Erik Karlsson.
So, Eric, last week, after the first period against Colorado, you guys went in the first period down 3-1, and you had a captain moment that brought some attention to everyone. Number one, what did you say? And number two, why did MacArthur only give you a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10?
I don't know. I didn't really read anything after, but I think, you know, it's the first game at home, a lot of emotions. And you know, we didn't start the game really well. I don't think we were just felt like it was out of gas and no one really put any effort in. So I don't think, you know, we needed to say that much, just a few things. Like, we needed to wake up. And I think for the last 40 minutes of the game, I think we played up to our potential. And you know, we outplayed Colorado for the rest of the game and won. So, you know, sometimes you just need a little wake-up call. And with the group of guys we have, I think we do a good job in reminding ourselves that, you know, sometimes that's what we need.
Two or three guys in the league jump up on the play as effectively as you do. What goes through your head in that situation, Eric? Is it I'm going most of the time, or I pick my spots, or what's the deal you and Paul have, you and the coaching staff have, you and the players have as far as when you're going?
Well, it all depends on what type of game it is and when in the game it is. You know, that's one of the things I need to work on sometimes is knowing what the score is at times and you know, what time it is on the clock and what period it is. You just got to pick your times and you know, for the most part, I can make those reads myself and you know, it's something that I work on, you know, getting better at sometimes, but most of the times, if there's an opportunity to go, I usually go and you mostly get more rewarded than not, so hopefully keep it that way.
Is there a player in the league that you cannot catch if you get caught in the offensive zone and they break out the other way?
I don't know. There's probably a few guys on every team that's pretty fast, so usually I know who I'm up against too.
And you judge accordingly?
Excuse me?
You judge accordingly whether or not to go down low with those guys on the ice?
Yeah, it all depends. You know, especially as I said, it depends what where we are in the game and you know, who you're up against too.
Couple of kids that aren't household names, but we all know what they mean to a team that's good, that is hoping to get better, but Mark Stone, Mike Hoffman, those are two guys that have been contributors early.
Yeah, I think both of the guys have paid their dues and they've been in Binghamton for a long time and I think, you know, they're both game ready to play right now and you know, they're helping our team win games and they're both smart players. So, you know, it's definitely two guys that, you know, we're hoping to keep for a while. And you know, what they've been doing so far, if they can keep it up for the remainder of the games, I mean, they're just going to keep getting better and better.
What about Zibanejad? This is a kid that you guys desperately need to take a step and be a top six guy. The line should be good, Eric. Hasn't been as good yet, but this kid has got tons of talent. What's he need to do? And I know this is a tough question when you're talking about a teammate, but you know him pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he's been here for a while now too, and he's just trying to find his way and, you know, find his role on the team and what he needs to do to be successful for, you know, a long period of time. And I think he's there right now. He knows he needs to, like, step it up, but at the same time, he's still trying to find out what he needs to do to be successful out there. And you know, it's going to take him a while. I mean, he's kind of got thrown into this situation a little bit earlier than most people do. And you know, as I said, he's still young and he's incredibly talented. So I think, you know, give him some time and he'll figure it out, what he needs to do out there to be, you know, even better. And it's just a matter of time when he does.
You know, the Leafs are all upset because they play these 18 back-to-backers, and a lot of times, like you guys, you're at home, you're waiting for them as they come in. You must feel really sorry for them to catch them in a scenario where they're all tired.
I don't know. I kind of like playing back-to-back games, so I think it all depends on who you are and how you feel. I don't really think it's a disadvantage, so we still get to treat it normally and you know, try and get off at them early. But you know, it'd be an interesting game tomorrow.
Eric, just quickly, Jared Cowan, a guy that we saw really emerge the last little while, is finding himself on the outside looking in. I think you started with him as a partner, but what does that speak to the level of competition right now?
Well, I mean, as of right now, we have 8 defensemen, you know, that can play in this league. You know, it's tough, and sometimes you just got to figure out your own way and what you need to do to be successful. And he's one of those guys, too, that, you know, needs some time to figure that out. And you know, if we just give him that, I'm pretty sure he's going to sort it out eventually.
Brian Murray mentioned to me in Florida last week when I met him there that we don't talk Sens near enough on this show. Would you, if you bump into him in the hallway today, tell him
you know what we talk
about?
We spent
a fair amount of time on it today.
We talk about apartment managers on this show in Florida. That's what we talk about, Eric.
Yeah, why not, eh?
Yeah, exactly. You got to get your discounts wherever you can. Yeah,
exactly. We just got to start winning some games and we'll get some more airtime probably.
I promise you that will that will occur if you guys keep this up.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
Eric Carlson, the captain of the Ottawa Senators, who I believe in a roundabout way said the Toronto Maple Leafs have the advantage going into tomorrow night because they play at the front of
the
back-to-back. He loves
playing back-to-back. But when you can skate like he can, back-to-backs don't faze him. And we talk about PK Subban all the time and how exciting he is to watch. And what about that goal on the weekend? And what about this kid to pay? Like, I watched him in Florida. It was an awful hockey game last week when they won 1-0. But he was worth the price of admission to watch this guy play.
Reminder, tomorrow night's game, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, the doubleheader will air on Sportsnet 1, the World Series underway. So that's on the main regional channels. Hockey Central will tee it up on the regional channels and Sportsnet 1, but the games itself will be on
Sportsnet 1. Okay, hold on. Let me write this down because I'm going to end up in the wrong studio.
It gets to be a complicated time.
Yes.
So,
but people are finding their way.
What do the bosses say? Over-communicate.
Oh, no. And people are finding their
way.
And
we're telling you right now,
just
tomorrow night,
people,
Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, Sportsnet 1. That's where the actual game will be.
I
and
do.
Then we have the Washington Capitals and the Edmonton Oilers.
Follow the arrows. Just get somebody to draw arrows
you
for
follow
you.
Follow me.
Follow the arrows.
You follow me. Tonight, City Montreal has the Canadiens against Detroit. Sportsnet Canucks welcomes Vancouver and Dallas. And Sportsnet Flames, Tampa Bay against Calgary. The Flames' first game back after that 6-game road trip. Thanks to Ed Willis for stopping by. Can't find a grumpy guy in the Vancouver Canucks organization.
Give it time.
The schedule will get a little bit more difficult.
Give it time.
And Eric Carlson, what an easygoing dude he is. Ottawa Senators captain. I appreciate their contributions to the show. And remember, lock your phones, lock your Twitter account.
That's right.
When you leave your phone.
Direct messaging has been an issue for the Capriles family.
Thanks for watching and listening.